Final hour on this Reaction Monday. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you. I am live at Titans training camp. First day in pads here at Vanderbilt Health Football Center. Parker is back at our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly BI membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Titans have the pads on for the first time today, and the first team drills getting going. Cam Ward on his first sequence, a nice little off-schedule flip play to get it to Daniel Bellinger and then hit Calvin Ridley down the right sideline for a big gain. So good start for the Titans offense, actually, which I wouldn't have expected to say. Again, it's day one in pads. As Robert Saleh said, these guys have a lot on their plate with this stuff, but good to see the Titans offense protection held up for the most part from what we could see. So good start for the Titans offense, I would say, so far here in the first day in pads.
How about that? How long of a gain was it to Calvin Ridley?
25, 30.
All right.
It was a little one-on-one down the sideline on like a late breaking corner route, and he made the play. So
good.
There you go.
Nice
play from Cam Ward there. You can see there's some fire in there. You know, Big Jeff, of course, talking a decent amount, which is fun. But it's cool to see the team out here. They're competing. You're seeing Robert Saleh and Brian Daboll. They're calling it here. I did find it interesting, Parker, and I saw you tweeted this out too, that the first team portion of practice is scripted, and they know what the offense and defense are going to do, and Saleh and Daboll are communicating on the best way to put the teams in competition to get these teams the work that they need, and then you get later into the call-it period where you're actually trying to play a little bit more chess than checkers.
And I love that Saleh said that, and there was a word that he used in there, maximize the player's time. It's exactly like a game. You script your first, I don't know, so a lot of coaches are different, but you usually try to script the best you can your first 10 to 15 plays on offense. And then from there, you over the course of the week, you're compiling a group of plays that you like in specific situations, third and short, third and long, second down, all those sorts of things. But after you get past those first scripted plays, you're looking at the call sheet and you see what you like in different situations, so it's non-scripted. So it's about as close to a game as you can get in this point in time.
Right. I mean, that's what you're hoping it continues to look like, is that these guys are competing at a high level. They're getting their work in, because again, you're challenging yourself with these three joint practices and preseason games that you have. The 49ers, very good team last year, despite all the injuries, they were a game away from being the number one seed in the NFC. Then you've got the team that beat them in that game and won the Super Bowl, the Seattle Seahawks, and the Chicago Bears, one of the up-and-coming teams around the NFL. So you look at those three teams, you're going to be challenged. Titans are going to have to get good work in here. San Francisco, the first one, again, a week from tomorrow. Joint practices out in Santa Clara. A week from Thursday, the first preseason game. Lots going on out there in San Francisco. Of course, we all know the Kyle Shanahan situation, the nasty car crash, and he's continuing to recover, and we're hoping that he recovers quickly. But even more than that, like Ricky Pearsall, out for the season again with a PCL injury. You got Brandon Ayuk continuing to be all over social media saying he's going to be a Commander, even though there's no evidence that that's going to happen. Very talented 49ers team you're going to see next week, but a team in flux heading into this season for sure.
Yeah, that this whole Brandon Ayuk saga is just crazy, because what was it, 5 years ago when he had 1,200 yards receiving, we were all talking about Brandon Ayuk as being in this top tier of NFL wide receivers. To see how far he has fallen is just... It's a crazy situation, but if I'm any NFL team, I'm skeptical. This is not a talent issue whatsoever. It's completely off the field, the mental part of the game for Brandon Ayuk. I would be very hesitant to bring a guy like that in, just because I would not want that cancer in the locker room.
Yeah, I mean that, and I was thinking about it this weekend with Brandon Ayuk. Do you remember the Niners were close to trading him to the Steelers? Like, it was close before the Steelers pivoted to DK Metcalf. That was going to be the big deal before they got that contract done. man, the 49ers, looking back, are probably kicking themselves for not taking whatever the Steelers were offering just to take Brandon Ayuk off their hands.
Yeah, no kidding. And you look at the 49ers situation now at wide receiver, it's just been truly an unlucky start to your career if you're Ricky Pearsall. Bringing in Mike Evans, they brought in Deebo Samuel, they brought him back, which I do believe was the right move for one of your $7 million contract, but they still lack vertical speed down the field, and Ricky Pearsall certainly would have helped with that if he was healthy, but that has to be a big concern right now if you're the 49ers.
Yeah, and as 4312 says, the power station curse continues for San Francisco, already losing a player before you even get the pads on in Ricky Pearsall. Any concern, Parker, about the Titans going out and practicing over there next to the, I don't even know what you want to call it, the like power station, the nuclear power station that continues to get 49ers players hurt?
Just keep Carnell Tate away from Chipotle. How about that?
That is true. That's priority number one for the Titans right now, is make sure Carnell Tate does not find his way over to a Chipotle. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to text or call. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Again, Titans practicing in pads for the first time this season. Cam Ward early on. Returns have been solid. Made a nice play down the sideline to Calvin Ridley. Just hit Wandale Robinson over the middle for a decent gain. So early on, I will say I'm a little bit surprised that the offense has had a good start to this practice. I kind of thought the defensive line was going to be wreaking havoc against the question marks on this offensive front. But so far, the protection has been solid for Cam Ward. Again, Mitch Trubisky and Will Levis went through their reps as well during this first team period. Again, pads are on today, tomorrow. Fans out here, really cool atmosphere as the Titans gear up for the season. I did want to get back to the Will Levis stuff, and we can do that coming up next. We'll stick talking about what the Titans have done today so far. I mean, overall, I think the one thing is you want Cam Ward to look like he's playing comfortable and playing fast out there. And I will say Thursday, I was looking across two fields, so it was a little further away. But I would say less than a week later, Cam Ward looking more comfortable in this offense. The decision-making has been quick so far during this practice. And I think that's what you want to see with Brian Daboll, is him getting the ball out quickly, making plays down the field. And so far, at least early on in practice, that's what I've seen.
That's what Sala talked about when asked what benchmarks he wants to see from Cam Ward throughout this process. He just said decision making. Like that's the big thing that he wants to see. But that's how you have success in this type of offense that Brian Daboll runs, with the option routes, with the quick choice, you know, slants, outs, that sort of thing, seams over the middle of the field. That's how you have success in this offense, and I believe that's very conducive to Cam Ward's strengths.
I will say, I just realized that I'm standing up trying to watch what's going on the field, and I realized that the stream was just like my chest, and there, no one could see anything. We've tried to adjust that here. Cam Ward just threw an interception. Amani Hooker jumped that route there. So that's the first miss I've seen from Cam Ward today. He was looking pretty good before that, a little bit late on a throw, and Amani Hooker gets the interception. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to text or call. Again, we're out at Titans practice. First padded practice of the season. We're giving you updates as they come in of the work the Titans are getting today. I did want to get back into the Will Levis situation, his comment back on Saturday about there not being 32 quarterbacks better than him. We'll have that conversation coming up next. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up. 1-2-5, the game.
I know I've put the tape out there already that I'm a dang good quarterback in this league, and I'm even better than I ever have been. So,
the faith that you have a future as a starter in this league. 100%.
I know I'm. You know, I think I'm. There are not 32 quarterbacks in this league better than me. I know that for sure.
How do you reconcile that faith?
I know.
That was Will Levis on Saturday talking about how there are not 32 quarterbacks better than him in the NFL, that he is still a starting quarterback in this league, as he comes out and short hops a receiver on his first throw of this round of team drills. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. You can't script that one any better. Just like 4312 saying I had the announcer's jinx of saying how great Cam Ward was practicing so far right before he threw the pick. Right there, come back talking Will Levis and short hops a receiver. With Will Levis, we talked about it earlier, Parker, that, yeah, you need to have that confidence. If you're going to be a starting quarterback in this league, he has to believe in himself. No one else is going to believe for him. He's got to believe in himself. He's got to go out and prove it, right? You look back at the 2024 tape. Yes, there are moments where you look and say, there may not be 32 better throwers of the football than Will Levis out there. He can make throws that other guys cannot make, 100%. And that's what I think would give you hope for another team bringing in Will Levis, is he does some things that you can't coach with the arm talent that he has. But if you look back at the tape, the decision-making, the mistakes, it doesn't show you a starting quarterback in the NFL. So, as we talked about, he's going to get his opportunities in the preseason. I would guess Cam Ward, game one, maybe plays 1-2 series. Then game two, maybe 2-3 series. Maybe he plays close to the full first quarter in the final game of the preseason. But do you need to see 31-year-old Mitch Trubisky out there in the preseason all that much? I don't think so. Like, yeah, let him play. He can get some chemistry with some of the twos at wide receiver for a drive or two. But outside of that, it's going to be Will Levis. And that is his opportunity to put film on tape and show these other 31 teams that he has the opportunity to go be a starting quarterback somewhere else. He's got the opportunity to do it. He said it on Saturday. Now's the chance to go back it up. So far in training camp, I don't know if we've seen that he's going to go out and show out in the preseason.
And he had an opportunity when Mitch Trubisky missed the practice as well, and he didn't capitalize. You only get so many opportunities as a quarterback in the NFL, and he will get opportunities in the preseason. They've talked about how he's going to get opportunities in the preseason. I'd imagine Cam Ward's not going to play a whole lot. I'd imagine Mitch Trubisky, given that we already know what he is as a quarterback in this league, he's a Brian Daboll guy, he's played in the system before, Will Levis is going to get opportunities. And if he doesn't capitalize on those opportunities, I don't see many teams in the NFL that would be willing to take a chance on him. He's got to go out there. He's got to perform. He can't have the same mistakes that he had in his rookie year, second year, and so on. He's got to capitalize.
I still go back to Jacksonville as a landing spot for him. And I know maybe you don't want to trade him in the division, but the Liam Cohen connection, their backup quarterback, I think, is Nick Mullins. Like, it would make a lot of sense to be the reclamation project behind Trevor Lawrence there in Jacksonville. We'll see. I think, again, he's got to go prove it in the preseason that he can be that type of guy that teams want to take a chance with. 2 years ago, Malik Willis looked really good in the preseason. He had that 2-touchdown game to Bryce Oliver down in New Orleans, and I think that maybe sparked some interest around the league. He gets traded to the Packers. Can Will Levis do the same thing? He's going to have chances to do it in the preseason. Nevada Josh on the text line asks, is Hooker still there too? Yes, I'm watching him on the field right now. He just doesn't do the team reps all that much. I want to say when Trubisky was out last week for the first practice, he got some team reps, but that's pretty much it that he's done so far in training camp. Jeremy in Clarksville says, if Levis didn't have that attitude, we'd be calling him a loser. He's in a no-win situation in Nashville. 100%. Like, what do you want Will Levis to say as he steps to the podium? Yeah, I kind of suck. I deserve to be a backup. Like, that's not the mindset that he needs to have for his career, and it's not the mindset that teams are going to want if they're going to make a move and take Will Levis. So I'm excited to see what he does in the preseason, because I think right now the only way to go is up. We've been wondering about what the value would be for Will Levis in a possible trade, been wondering that for months throughout the draft. Here's the chance to raise that value. You would expect that if there was a decent offer on the table for Will Levis, Mike Borgonzi would have taken it by now. He's got to go prove that he's worthy of another team taking a chance on him. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. First round of team drills here at Vanderbilt Health Football Center is in the books. Overall, I thought Cam Ward looked good. I think that was probably one of the best rounds of team that we've seen from him. He made one really bad throw, and those are the ones that hurt you when you get into games. We've seen it before. We've seen it with Will Levis. Like, that's the perfect example of, you can make all the right decisions, but if you mess up one time and it's catastrophic, I mean, that can end up really hurting your team. So Cam Ward looked really good up until the last throw of the team drill. He'll get up other opportunities here in this first padded practice of training camp. Quickly wanted to get into some college sports here, but first let's go to the phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tim has called in wanting to talk Will Levis. Tim, thanks for calling. Good morning.
Hey, guys. You think maybe Will got into his mayonnaise cologne and drank too much of it before he got up there?
I don't think so. Again, like, go ahead, Tim.
If Will Levis was good enough to play in the league, somebody would have already inquired about him, and he would still be on the Titans. Nobody wants him.
Well, right, and I think it's a lot of it is because the last time you saw Will Levis was, it didn't look good. It was the Bengals game back in 2024 where he turned the ball over three or four times, and he got benched for Mason Rudolph. That's the last memory that a lot of the NFL has of Will Levis. And so he's got to change that, and he's going to get the opportunity to change that. But you're right. Like, he can go up and say he's one of the best 32 quarterbacks in the NFL, but right now the tape would show otherwise.
Yeah, his stats and his numbers do not back up his thoughts. And he's thrown more touchdowns to the opposite team than he has ours.
Yeah, no, that is true. He actually did have one more touchdown than interception back in the 2024 season, so slightly more. But, yeah, the issue has been decision-making for Will Levis. And, again, he's going to get the chance to go prove it. And if he doesn't, he's probably going to get cut at the end of training camp. Like, if he's not valuable enough that another team wants to go and give a seventh-round pick to take him, then he's probably not valuable enough for the Titans to keep him on the roster as a third quarterback.
He may be need to book a ticket and go to Canada to play.
Right. I don't know about that. I think he would get a chance on a practice squad at the very least. But, like, yeah, our team's going to take a chance on him and believe that they can get the most out of him. I don't know.
How many teams are going to keep three quarterbacks? I don't think they will. And you know Trubisky's going to be the second string here.
Yes. Yeah, Trubisky's the backup. And, yeah, you're right. I think some teams do keep three, especially with the emergency third quarterback rule. It makes it a little bit easier for you. But it's not like he's going to get brought in. If somebody doesn't trade for him, it's not like he's going to be brought in and immediately be the backup for some team. He's going to have to work his way up anywhere he goes. So, yeah, this is a really important training camp and preseason for Will Levis.
All right, guys. Thanks for the call. Right.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Tim. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to chime in. We will talk some big picture college sports stuff, but did you see, Parker, USC, Notre Dame are extending their rivalry matchup starting in 2030. They're going to play four matchups over 4 years.
4 years too late, if you ask me.
I agree with that. I agree. That Notre Dame, if you're going to play outside of a conference, you got to keep those rivalries going. You got to play Navy. I know they have been playing Navy. You got to play Navy. You got to play Michigan. You got to play USC. Like, that's, I think that should be a prerequisite for Notre Dame staying out of a conference. Now, I know they can do whatever they want, but I think that's got to be something that they keep up. And I'm glad to see that the USC rivalry is coming back.
In an era where so much is changing and we don't know what's going to happen day to day, and college football is way different than it was even 5 years ago, rivalries are one of the things that has to be one of the most valued commodities and protected at all costs. I do like that Notre Dame is playing BYU this year. I think that could be a fun game. Hopefully that is an annual thing. That would be fun. But USC and Notre Dame is one of the bedrock rivalries of the sport, and you got to keep that. You have to.
Right. So that was a good announcement today across college sports. We don't get a ton of those lately. That one was actually positive. We'll get into some of the negative stuff as well. 615-737-1025. Watching the Titans practice again, first day in pads. 2765 texts in and says, haven't heard Carnell Tate's name a bunch in team periods over the last couple days. Yeah, I will say so far today, I haven't noticed him a ton. That doesn't mean that he's not doing his job over there. Maybe the plays just aren't being run for him specifically. But, yeah, I, I think Carnell Tate made a great first impression in OTAs and minicamp, but he is still a rookie. There's going to be growing pains as he develops. He's not going to be Jamar Chase immediately, and I think you're going to see him continue to grow. There's going to be some of those speed bumps that he has to get over. But you are right that I don't think that he's shown up outside of the one big catch and double coverage last week in camp. I haven't really heard his name as much as maybe you would have expected to.
And there's going to be a lot of expectations, right? He was the fourth overall pick. He did make some splash plays. I think it was Wednesday or Tuesday when he had the leaping touchdown grab over Marcus Harris, which was exactly what Titans fans would be encouraged to see, and I'm sure what the coaches were encouraged to see as well. You hope to see more of those as we get deeper into training camp.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. You can join the conversation. Our phone line's driven by Wilson County Hyundai. Again, we are out at Titans training camp today. Our coverage is presented by Tennessee Brewworks, Parman Energy, and the Music City Kickoff Game, Twin Peaks Restaurants, Parman Tractor and Equipment, and Tri-State Water, Power, and Air. We're learning here. This is only the second time we've been out at training camp. Trying to watch practice and host a show at the same time can be like walking and chewing gum, or like patting your head and rubbing your stomach at the same time.
Walking and chewing gum is a lot easier than watching practice and hosting a radio show.
I know. I'm trying to like keep up on everything that's happening so I can give some actual nuanced analysis, but it is difficult to keep my train of thought going while I'm watching Mitch Trubisky and Cam Ward out there. We'll give you some updates on what's been going on here at Titans practice. We'll also get into some of the bigger picture college sports discussions. Over the weekend, a big court decision that could cause roster chaos around college sports. We'll get into it coming up next. 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game, Jake Lyman. I'm in Parker Kelly with you. We got 30 minutes left on the show, but make sure you stick around. I'll be back at some point during Chasing Big Joe after practice wraps up. Going to have Cody Barton join us live here from Titans training camp. And later on, don't forget, 420 on DVD. Wandale Robinson going to join the DVD crew, including Derek Mason, Willie Donick, and Connor Newt. Titans practice continuing, realizing that I'm completely off the stream right now. Trying to watch practice. Cam Ward has looked fine today. Again, the one bad moment was the interception to Amani Hooker. It was a scramble drill, and he ended up throwing the pick to Hooker. But Cam Ward, overall, I think has looked fine. He just actually used his legs a little bit to pick up about 5 yards, which was good to see, something that I know Brian Daboll likes to see his quarterbacks do, is if there's yardage in front of you, take it. And he did get down and slide, even though he's in the red jersey. The defense has gotten its lick back a little bit over the past few periods here. I saw Jeffrey Simmons just absolutely blow up a play, and obviously he can't hit the quarterback, so he pulled up and then tried to chase down one of the wide receivers. But he was in the backfield probably within half a second of the snap. So I think after an early good start from the offense and the offensive line, the defense has started to do what we expected, which is be the winner so far on day one in pads.
Absolutely. I'm telling you, that's the way it's set up. It doesn't matter what the team is. The defense is always going to have the edge over the offense in practice scenarios, situations like this. That's just the way it goes. That's just the way it goes at training camp. It was encouraging to hear that Cam Ward, outside of the really bad interception to Amani Hooker, had a good day for the most part. And what you said about the legs part, if there's green grass, like, take off. That makes me feel good. That's something that I've wanted to see from Cam, and I'm always going to go back to that play in Indianapolis. I believe it was a 3rd and 5, and Cam Ward scrambled outside of the pocket trying to make a play. He had green in front of him, just take off and get the first down, live to fight another play, and tried to make something happen. It was an incompletion, and your punt unit's coming out on the field. If you have green grass in front of you, just take off and get it, slide, live to fight another play.
Yeah, and I wonder if maybe in between team periods there was a conversation between Brian Daboll and Cam Ward, because one of the first plays today, you saw him get outside the pocket, and he had some room to run, and instead he tried to flip it to Daniel Bellinger. It ended up being a completion, but this time standing there, saw the gap open in the offensive line. He stepped up and he took the 5-6 yards, which is good to see. Continuing to give you updates on Titans training camp here as we watch above the field here at Vanderbilt Health Football Center. But did want to get into the big news in college sports over the weekend. A Denver federal judge rules that all class of 2022 athletes whose eligibility expired at the end of this year are going to get another year. Charlie Baker, the president of the NCAA, warns that roster chaos will ensue. And it was, I think he's right. Like, you're adding all these players back into the field as options for these teams super late. Now, the one thing to note here is this doesn't change the transfer portal rules. The transfer portal is closed right now, and it's not like these athletes who are getting back in, unless they entered their name already preemptively just to see, it's not like they can just go anywhere they want. But this is something to keep an eye on with the way rosters are going to be built, the way coaching staffs are going to handle their teams, because you do get a decent amount of talented players who are now back as available pieces moving into the 2026 season for football and into the winter season for basketball.
It's chaos. It's just complete chaos. Just continuing the trends that we've been seeing while games have not been playing. I know it's been this way in college basketball where guys that, you know, they were expecting this ruling to happen and they entered their name in the transfer portal not knowing what the outcome was going to be, but just in case. It's unfortunate in football, in basketball, they already have their rosters assembled for next year, and now you throw right. this on top of it, and coaches aren't—they're not wanting to worry about this. A lot of them have already started fall camp. They're wanting to focus on the upcoming season and getting ready for week one. They don't want this hanging over their heads. It serves as a distraction. That's why I don't believe Tennessee is going to try and sue or get a different outcome on the Arian Carter suspension, just because they're trying to get ready for Furman in week one. They're trying to get ready for the start of the season, and you don't want a distraction hanging over the entire team's heads while you're going throughout fall camp.
You're right. It's just another thing that coaching staffs have to worry about. And it's like you've been working with these players all offseason trying to get them ready, and now you're adding more players into the fold who could possibly take their reps. Now, it is a very specific class of players who get this extra year of eligibility based on this ruling. Like 4312 asks, wait, can Joey Aguilar come back to the Vols now? No, because they're putting these players under the new 5-5 eligibility, which means from the time you started your college career or you turn 19, you get 5 years, Joey Aguilar would be out of that window at this point. So he wouldn't fall under this, but there are a lot of players who do. And I think for the most part, it's not going to be a ton of players coming back because anybody who went pro can't come back. So, like, if you got drafted into the NFL or you signed an NBA contract, although we have seen that change before, you might not be able to come back. And so this is something that's going to cause a lot of chaos, and you're right. It's just one more thing that coaches and players and management staffs all have to deal with as you get ready for a new season of college sports.
That's why Charlie Baker, the NCAA president, has been a huge proponent of this Senate bill, which, by the way, a bombshell happening late on Friday night of the SEC and Big Ten releasing a joint statement in support of the bill that would put the hands back in the power of the NCAA, the ones that they're making these decisions. Now, that's a kind of a separate conversation, but football and college athletics in general cannot go anywhere if at every stop there's a lawsuit and things are getting challenged. It's just, it cannot thrive like that. So regardless of how you feel about the NCAA, I know I'm not fond of them. A lot of our listeners probably aren't fond of them either. But I've always said from the start that I think this Senate bill is going to pass. And while I thought it was a Hail Mary towards the end of last week, the SEC and Big Ten coming out in support of it, they have until August 7th. To pass this. So there's hope.
You're right. There was the story a few weeks ago that the Protect College Sports Act wasn't going to go to the floor for a vote. The SEC and the Big Ten weren't on board with it. They've changed their tune now, and maybe this kind of ruling is the right push that everybody needed to get on the same page with getting congressional help trying to fix some of these issues that college sports are dealing with. Sorry, trying to watch Cam Ward, incomplete, I believe, down the left sideline. So, yeah, this is just another one of those things where you're seeing the NCAA, they can make all the rules they want and they can change the way eligibility works. But if you get the right judge, they can change it. I mean, the judge said that it would cause irreparable harm. That's the word that seems to get thrown around in these cases a ton. Irreparable harm to these athletes if they aren't able to play college sports this year. And I think it might be causing irreparable harm to college sports as a whole if every single decision that's made by the NCAA or a conference can just be challenged at the local court level.
It cannot thrive the way that it's going right now, and it can't be in its best state. So this Senate bill, it's not going to be perfect, but anytime there's bipartisan legislation, that's a huge deal in and of itself. So, and we've never seen a bill. There were several bills that tried to get passed. The SAFE Act, the SCORE Act, all those things never made it to this stage. So this is the best opportunity for a bill to be passed. And I know 5 years ago, I would have vomited at the sound of Congress intervening in college athletics. It's just where we are now. What's happening right now with nobody really having their hands on the wheel clearly isn't working. So somebody is trying to step up, but there are a lot of good things in this bill if you go and read it. Again, not perfect, but it's a lot better than where we are right now.
Yeah, I mean, perfect, I think you're never going to find perfect. There just has to be a compromise that fixes some of the big issues that are facing these schools with no kind of regulation. And most of it is just the NCAA is far from perfect, and they make a lot of bad decisions. We talked about the Arian Carter suspension being the wrong decision last week. But there has to be a way to enforce rules and not just be able to appeal everything to your local judge if you want something to get overturned in college sports. That's the biggest thing, is just having some sort of consistency where you can't just run and say, oh, somebody's going to give me a temporary restraining order and we'll make it work. That's happened way too often, whether it's Brendan Sorsby, whether it's Charles Bediako, whether it's this with these class of 2022 players getting an extra year back. So that would be the biggest benefit of congressional intervention. And let's see, you said August 7th is when they have to get this passed by?
That is when the Senate is going to break for their, I think it's like a month-long recess.
Gotcha.
Or whatever. And then when they come back, they have way other, you know, important things going on in the country to deal with other than, you know, college sports. So that's going to not be prioritized whatsoever. And who knows if it could ever see the light of day again. So it's the best chance this week. It has to pass this week if it's going to pass at all.
The Congress does work so hard, they get so much done, they deserve a month off to rest after this one, starting on August 7th. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Not a great update on the Cam Ward front. Rolling right again, very similar to the Amani Hooker, threw a pick to Jermaine Johnson. Was pressured by Jeffrey Simmons and threw a pick to Jermaine Johnson. Second interception of the day for Cam Ward here in the first padded practice of training camp. 615-737-1025. We'll give you more updates. We'll wrap up the show after this. Again, we are not done once we go off the air. Chase and Big Joe going to take over at noon, but Cody Barton going to join me up here after practice. We'll talk to the Titans linebacker about what he's seen in practice so far, especially with the first padded practice of the year. And at 420 on DVD, Wandell Robinson going to join Derek Mason, Willie Donick, and Connor Newt. So look forward to that coming up later this afternoon. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you, wrapping up the show on this Reaction Monday, live from Titans training camp. Full practice number 4 of training camp, first one in pads, and it's been a roller coaster of a day for Cam Ward, I would say. Started really strong, a couple of really good throws to Wandell Robinson. He hit Calvin Ridley down the field, but trying to improvise twice, he's thrown some bad picks looking over the middle of the field. And, you know, maybe that's something that he needs here in training camp. He got away with a lot of those throws last year. And I do think that he might need to test the limits of what he can get away with. And Jermaine Johnson, Namani Hooker taught him that he could not get away with those two throws that he tried to make so far today at practice.
That's what Brian Daboll is going to be emphasizing to Cam Ward, right? Some of the things that, that Josh Allen struggled with up to a very recent point is take the easy throws when they're there, make the easy play, whether it's scrambling for the first down like we were talking about, or hitting the receiver on a five-yard option route. Don't try to force a big play if it's not there. That's something, too, that Ben Johnson's been trying to get through to Caleb Williams. If he dials up a deep shot play action, you don't have to throw that. You can dump it off. You could throw it away, and he'll dial up the play again or a similar concept or play. But just because he calls it doesn't mean you have to take the deep shot if it's not there. Same thing that they're trying to get through to Cam Ward.
And the interceptions have been bad today. I mean, it late over the middle, Hooker jumped it perfectly, and then the second one, Simmons was running stride for stride with him, and Cam should have just tossed it into the sideline, but he tried to do too much and hit Jermaine Johnson between the ones. So it's a learning experience. It's still camp, but those were the two bad throws. Overall, I think he's been fine today outside of those two throws, and it's like, you know, you can't get rid of two bad interceptions on a day. But like Dustin from Hopkinsville texts in and says, it's been the same old Cam Ward accuracy issues. I wouldn't say any of the issues today have been accuracy. It's been decision-making. Like, just don't make those throws or be a little bit more on time with the first throw. Accuracy hasn't been the problem today. He was incomplete on a throw to Tate deep into the end zone. That was more a good play by Alante Taylor. Just hit Wandell Robinson for a decent gain here as the ones are back out there. So, again, I wouldn't say accuracy issues for Cam Ward, but I think it's more learning when the journey is over. And twice today, he's been in the scramble drill, and he's hit defenders right between the numbers.
That's going to come with years of experience. That's going to come with learning. That's going to come with making these types of mistakes in practice. Not encouraging to see at this point in time, albeit. So, but if he does improve on these, like we'll see him go up against the 49ers defense. We'll see him go up against the reigning Super Bowl champs, the Seattle Seahawks, their defense, the Bears defense. If he continues to make the same mistakes, that's when it becomes a really, really big concern. You're just hoping that he can improve off of those and not make the same mistakes come next week.
Yeah, and it's true because, I mean, during the rookie season, the scramble drills was where he really shined and didn't really make those mistakes that we saw from Will Levis. But he made two bad throws today, bad interceptions, and you hope he learns from it. That was a nice throw from Cam Ward right there, strike over the middle to Calvin Ridley down close to the goal line. So there's been good today from Cam Ward, but the bad has been really bad with the two interceptions. So we'll have to see. It's the first day in pads. I don't know how much longer they're going to go, but I would say up and down is the best way to talk about Cam Ward's day at practice today. Some really good throws, but the bad decisions have led to some catastrophic results. I will say, Parker, you know who showed up again today at practice, who we talked about earlier, Elik Iyemanner. He caught a touchdown deep from Mitch Trubisky. He forced a PI call in the end zone against Micah Robinson. So we were wondering if Elik Iyemanner could continue this upward trajectory when the pads came on. So far, so good for the second-year wide receiver.
I'm telling you, he's really impressed. And a lot of the time with these guys, you could tell the work that they put in this offseason because it tends to translate once you get to the practice field, once you get to the game field. Elik Iyemanner put a lot of work in this offseason, and happy for him that it's starting to show. I did want to go back to one more thing on the Cam Ward front.
One thing that
I can respect about Ward is even if he makes two horrendous mistakes, we saw with Will Levis, once he'd throw an interception, it would get in his head, and he'd make another mistake, and that would get in his head, and it would start to snowball. With Cam Ward, he's really good about having short-term memory, which as a quarterback, you have to have, and he'll just move on right to the next play and forget that the interception even happened. So that's something that's not easy. It's something not a lot of quarterbacks can do, but it looks like he can. So I did want to make sure that I'm saying I do respect that aspect of Cam Ward's game.
Yeah, I mean, with Cam Ward, you're right. he has moved on from decision making, bad decision making, bad throws. You look back at the Colts game, the pick six that he threw right off the bat, and the Netflix documentary showed him on the sideline just saying, "Hey, toss that ball out. They can keep it," and moving on. So you hope that you can see more of that. Again, Cam Ward today, I think the ball placement's actually been pretty good from the throws I've been able to see from Cam Ward. He's hit Wandale Robinson at least three times for big gains. He's hit Calvin Ridley twice for big gains. Like, there have been good throws today. The two bad ones are the ones that I think are going to stand out at the end of the practice just because it was just ill-advised decisions. Caleb asks, is it a bad decision, or are they telling him to force the ball in since it's practice so he can learn the limits a little bit? Maybe that's it. I mean, I'll tell you, like, I think the Jermaine Johnson one would be one that all Titans fans would have their hands on their head. What are you doing if you did that in a game? But that's why this is practice. This is why you do it. You try and work the kinks out. And tomorrow they'll be back for another padded practice, and we'll see if Cam Ward can bounce back. Again, not a horrible day from Cam Ward. I do think he's made some good throws. But when you have two picks and both of them – I wouldn't say both of them were pick sixes, but, I mean, like, there's a chance. It wasn't a great day overall. So, up and down, roller coaster day for Cam Ward, but it's the first day in pads. There's a long way to go. So
there is, and there's another padded practice tomorrow, which I'm very excited to be at and to attend and see some of these one-on-ones. That's going to be really fun.
Yes, you will be out there tomorrow. I will be out here tomorrow, too. Again, same time, same place, 9 a.m. right here. We'll have Nick Frazier talking with us. Connor Newt will dive into everything we saw today at practice and get ready for day two in pads tomorrow. Did want to wrap up with a text here from Nevada Josh. He asks, how does the rookie linebacker work, Anthony Hill Jr., how is he looking? I haven't really noticed him all that much. I thought he threw a pick last week when I couldn't see across the two fields, but I haven't noticed him a whole lot. We're going to talk to Cody Barton coming up in a little bit. He's going to join us during the Chase and Big Joe show at some point. So we'll have to ask him about that, what he's seen from the rookie linebacker, Anthony Hill Jr. But overall, I will say I haven't noticed him all that much on the field. Haven't seen him making a ton of plays. You know who has been making plays at inside linebacker? James Williams. He's kind of been all over the field. So that's good to see. I think that's a deep position group, especially if Williams is starting to take a step forward as a young player. So I don't know, Parker, if you've seen anything from Anthony Hill, but I will say I think James Williams has flashed a couple of times.
Now, what it's telling me is about Anthony Hill is he's not all the way ready yet. So he's mainly running with the twos right now. I'm sure at some point we will see him start to get some run with the ones, but it's pretty obvious if you're reading context clues, you're reading the room here, that he's not ready yet because it's still Cody Barton and Cedric Gray. James Williams, that is good to hear. I saw him running with the threes at one point last week, and I was kind of confused by that, but good to hear that he's having a good day with the twos.
Yes, yeah, it's overall – I would say it's been more evenly matched than I would have guessed. I thought the defense was going to completely dominate today, and I think the defense has won the day, but the offense has had its moments too. So it's been back and forth. Again, day one in pads. Practice still going on here at Vanderbilt Health Football Center. We'll be back at some point during Chase and Big Joe. We'll be talking to Cody Barton, so excited for that. And later on, don't forget, Wandale Robinson joining DVD at 4:20. Should be a good conversation there. That wraps things up for us. We'll be back 9 a.m. tomorrow right here from Titans Training Camp. Chase and Big Joe are coming up next. Keep it right here on 102.5 The Game.